Good morning. There's a section in both in Maseches Megillah as well as in the Medrash Rabbah which lists all the Pesichos. Whenever the Amoraim would teach Megillas Esther to the Talmidim, they would begin by quoting a Pasuk. Some Pasuk from Tanakh that doesn't directly talk about Purim, but that talks about a theme that's hidden in Megillas Esther, and they wanted to draw out or tweak out that theme. So the way to draw that theme was to quote a Pasuk and then associate that Pasuk with Megillas Esther. Because Megillas Esther is such a, not cryptic, but it's not a straightforward text, not a straightforward story. So the best way to tease out some of the ideas is to quote a Pasuk in Tanakh that corresponds to some of those ideas. So when Rav Abba Bar Kahana, would teach Megillas Esther, this is the Pasuk he would begin to teach his Talmidim. He'd write, Kili Adam Shetov Lefanav, a good righteous person, it's in the end of Perek Beis in Koheles, Nasan Chachma Vadas Vesimcha. Hashem delivered wisdom, knowledge, joy. V'lachote, what's Hashem's punishment for the sinner? Nasan Inyan, he makes a purpose or some agenda, Lesof V'lechnos, to gather money, to gather power. Laseis Tov Lefneher Elokim. And all that money and power that he's going to gather is going to be in the service of Hashem. Very, very strange pasuk. Hashem, to the righteous person, gives wisdom and knowledge. To the evil person, gathering money and power. So that in the end, it becomes serviceable to Hashem. So how did Rav Abba Bar Kahana interpret this pasuk? The first part of the pasuk, to the righteous person, Hashem gives wisdom and das. That's Mordechai. To the wicked person, Hashem drives him or incites him to gather money and power, that's Haman, because Haman gathered money and power in Megillas Esther. Now here's his interpretation. How is this money and power grab of the Russia in the service of God? Because ultimately, at least in Megillas Esther, the money and power that Haman gathered transferred to Mordechai. Because after Haman was defeated, Esther appointed Mordechai upon base Haman. So all the money and power that Haman had gathered was now in the hands of Mordechai. And Mordechai, this is somehow good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Right? So I'll repeat. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana took this pasuk in Koheles about righteous people gathering wisdom and knowledge and wicked people gathering money and power. And that money and power that the wicked gather is in the service of Hashem. He superimposed it onto Megillas Esther. The righteous person that gathers wisdom and knowledge is Mordechai. The wicked person that gathers money and power is Haman. In the end, that power and money services Hashem because Haman's house transfers to Mordechai. Rav Amital quoted the Maharal. We teach us a lot of Maharal around Purim. And then he gave his explanation, and then I'll give my addition. The Maharal's explanation is more or less as follows. Righteous people are not good at gathering money and power. They're kind, they're compassionate. To gather money and power, you have to be aggressive. You have to be cutthroat. You have to be willing to cross moral red lines. You have to be assertive. Mordechai is a righteous person. He's not interested in grabbing money and power. It's Haman that's best fitted to play the political game, to be involved in political power grabs. We read in Megillas Esther that Haman becomes the viceroy overnight. It doesn't. It takes a lot of work, a lot of subversive activity, a lot of exploitation on the part of Haman. So the Maharal says that the reason our Kadosh Baruch Hu asks the Rasha to gather all that power, not the Tzaddik, because the Tzaddik doesn't have those tools. The Rasha is the one that has tools for political animalism, for political cutthroat survival of the fittest. Now, what the Maharal doesn't discuss and what Rav Amital doesn't discuss is who cares? Who needs money? Who needs power? I'll talk about that in a moment. Why is this ultimately in Hashem's service that Haman was best fitted to serve as grabbing power as Hashem's agent, and then it transfers to Mordechai? Who cares if Mordechai is rich? Who cares if Mordechai has power? I'll talk about that in a moment. But in the Maharal, Rav Amital saw a model for distribution of labor. For sometimes there's labor and action and achievements that the righteous people are not fit for, and that Hashem has to delegate it to people that are not as righteous but more suited to the task. That's the metaphor that Rav Amital drew from Abba Bar Kahana's statement. Haman is a Rasha, but he's best suited for power grab and money grab. Mordechai is a tzaddik. He spends his days in the Beis Medrash. His midos are more refined to be so aggressive and violent and screaming at the top of his lungs. So Hashem chooses those who are more suited for particular tasks, even though they may not represent the ideal. Rav Amital saw this as a metaphor for life in Israel. Why was Israel built by secular Zionists, by secular Jews that are so far from us? Not Chas V'Shalom in any way, shape, or form to compare secular Zionists to Haman, Chas V'Shalom. But you'd think if religious Jews represent the ideal, and returning to Israel and settling the land is an ideal, shouldn't that settlement, I don't just mean settling the geographical land, but building this country, shouldn't that have been performed by religious Jews? Which is really a very, very deep question. If you're a religious Zionist, you have to ask yourself that question. Many people who don't believe this is a hand of Hashem probably are bothered by that question. It's one thing if the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Aaron Cutler had built this land, then it would represent the hand of Hashem. But look who built it. Ben-Gurion and Jabotinsky and Theodor Herzl and... So Rav Amital said, well, that's the point. Could you imagine what this land would look like if Rav Moshe Feinstein built the highways? Can you imagine what this land would look like if Rav Aaron Cutler, and quite frankly, even if they're good highway engineers, they have more important tasks to attend to. So people who love the land, people who had a labor ethic, many of the secular Zionists came here based on socialist roots, communist, quasi-communist roots, building communes, the ethic of work, the ethos of work, working the land. They were more outfitted for building a sturdy and robust society than, let's say, the Talmidei Chachamim and the people whose lives were more geared towards spiritual pursuits. So in this Maharal, again, you have many layers. You have Abba Bar Kahana explaining the Pasuk in Qoheles as a reference to Mordechai receiving all the power that Haman gathered because based on the Pasuk in Qoheles, and this is in the service of Hashem. The Maharal explains because Haman is better fit to acquire all this power than Mordechai is. Rav Amital explained, well, I can use that as a metaphor for the modern state of Israel. Not Chalila V'chas to compare Haman to secular Zionists, but that same notion. Now, the fourth layer is myself. Well, why is it important for Mordechai to have all that power? Why is this in the service of Hashem? Okay, we all know that if there were Olympics as to who could gather more wealth or power, Haman would win the gold medal, Mordechai would come in 52nd. That we know. So we know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Haman to gather all that power and wealth, because he's a better you know, sprinter than Mordechai. But why is this so important? Who cares if Mordechai has power and wealth? There are two reasons, and this is me speaking, not Rav Amital. There are two reasons in the Haggadah that the shift of power and wealth from Haman to Mordechai is important. This is in the service of Hashem, as the Pasuk in Qoheles says. First of all, morally. In the Megillah, we see how all that money is being used hedonistically, self-serving. People are being taxed through the nose. There's a moral story to Megillas Esther, not just a religious story, a historical story of Am Yisrael. There's a moral story that money can be used for epicurean means endless pleasure, hedonism, self-serving. Money is worshipped in Shushan. I'm not going to tell you why money is worshipped in Shushan, but there's so much aggregation of wealth. That was really probably one of the wealthiest empires to that date, because it was the fourth in a series of super empires that had gathered wealth. Melech Ashur, Sennacherib, had gathered all the wealth, and then that wealth transferred to Nebuchadnezzar, who conquered him, to Babel, and then Parasamadai took the wealth, so he had a funneling of wealth. This was the greatest condensation of wealth to that time. And you can use wealth for social justice, you can use wealth to build bridges, to build tunnels, to build infrastructure, you can use wealth for a 180-day party on sofas of marble, eating endlessly, while people in the countryside are starving to death because they're paying taxes to foot the bill of this party. If you look, when Esther gets appointed, V'hanachala medinos asah, all of a sudden she gives a tax break to everyone. So when Esther ascends, all of a sudden, morally, the country stops this convulsion and stops all this moral nightmare. So the transfer of wealth and the proof that wealth and money is so respected and idolized in Shushan is that Haman can buy genocide. Haman basically pays for the death of an entire people. So the Shkan, who cares how much he paid? Why such a big deal in Megillas Esther? Because it shows that people are using money for self-indulgence and luxurious hedonism, and they're using money because money is so worshipped. You know, it doesn't make a difference. You want to kill them, just give me enough money. Money can buy anything, even genocide. So the fact that Haman's wealth transfers to Mordechai, we expect all that wealth to be used more equitably and more morally now that Mordechai has it. Second of all, and I'll be beating this drum all week, people don't realize the Nes of Purim happens in an 18-year window between when the Jews had already returned to Eretz Yisrael, started to build Yerushalayim, started to build the Beis HaMikdash. The process was stalled by anti-Zionist or anti-Jewish sentiment, and now, a couple years later, 18 years later, Ezra and Nehemiah return. In that 18-year window, Megillas Esther occurs. So Megillas Esther is trying to propel Am Yisrael towards the conclusion of the Geula. To return to Eretz Yisrael, you need wealth, you need money, you need to build infrastructure. So presumably some of the power and the influence and the wealth that Mordechai received from Haman, that Haman gathered and collected, somehow that
ends up propelling the return to Eretz Yisrael and to the Beis HaMikdash. So four levels. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana used the pasuk to just start his drasha. We don't know what his drasha was. We know his psicha. We can only intuit what the drasha was. Morel thinks the drasha was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses people that are best fit for the task. Haman is better fit for the task of gathering money and power. Mordechai is not. Transfers to Mordechai, that's service of Hashem. Rami tells us that can be used as a metaphor for modern Israel. I'm asking myself in the Megillah, why is it so important that Mordechai receives the wealth? A, to create a morally superior world with money. Two, to lead the charge back to Eretz Yisrael. One of the most amazing nisim in our return to Eretz Yisrael, he asked me to list the 5-6 nisim, is that 3 years after our collective national wealth was plundered, because from the Shoah it was not just killing 6 million people and creating millions of refugees, it was plundering our wealth. Our wealth took it down. I don't know how much wealth. A third, I think, of our wealth was lost during the Shoah, during the Holocaust. And somehow, Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed us to recollect our funds and to once again build. You know how much philanthropy has gone to building the State of Israel? Just walk in a hospital, walk in any national building, you'll see the names of all the Jews in Chutz Laaretz, wealthy Jews and other Jews, splattered across the wall. So building Eretz Yisrael is a great act of philanthropy, and Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave us the ability to gather our resources so soon after they'd been depleted. Okay? So we'll try to focus on Esther and Purim this week in Mitzvah.